EF Core 5's been released with Mini-to-Mini, a very requested feature. It's almost like magic, but in this episode, we open the lid and look under the covers. Check it out. Hello, and welcome to another episode of On.net. I'm your host, Jeremy Lickness. Last episode that we brought Arthur on from the EF Core team, he took us on a whirlwind tour of the new features in EF Core 5. Today, Arthur joins us again to do a deep dive on Mini-to-Mini. Welcome back, Arthur.
Thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, so last time we went through a whirlwind tour of lots of different features without going deep into any of them. But some of those features that we saw were the debug views that we've introduced and enhanced in EF Core 5. And also, of course, I think everyone's well aware, we've introduced Mini-to-Mini in EF Core 5. What I'm going to show today is what goes on under the covers when you do Mini-to-Many in EF Core 5, because on the surface, it looks like there's a lot of magic going on, and there is. We're doing a lot of things for you. But one of the philosophies of EF Core is that when we do things for you by magic or by convention, then we also provide a mechanism where you can provide configuration to override that convention and change the things that you don't like about it. Even though it looks like magic, it's actually all building blocks under the covers that you can manipulate directly. And that's what I'm going to show more of today.
Nice.
So in this case, I've just started with something really simple so that we can see what's going on without a lot of clutter. So I've got a user and a group, and users are going to have groups, and groups are going to have users. But before I add many to many to that, I just want to show you what's happening in the debug views before we do that. So I'm running this in the debugger again. I have output from logging, as you can see, but we're not going to look at that too much. Instead, I'm going to go directly into the context here, and I'm going to look at the debug view for the model. So I'm going to go context, model, debug view, and then short view. The short view, as I said before, doesn't have the annotations and is therefore a lot easier to read. I'll put it here so we can see it. So yeah, we've got an entity called group. We've got an entity called user. It's got primary keys as expected, all the normal kind of stuff that you would expect there. So this is kind of what we saw last time. Likewise, we can go and look at the debug view for the change tracker. So I'm going to go in here, change tracker, expand it. You can see debug view, expand that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just look at the short view. We looked at the long view last time, but this time we're going to use the short view because it makes things clearer. So the short view is designed to basically show you not all the property values, but just the relationships between them. And when they're added, you can see we just have these temporary values. We know they're temporary because of the numbers. If we went to the long view, it also tagged them as temporary. And like I showed you last time, you can step over this and this goes red because now things have changed after we saved. And indeed, I won't bother copying it, but they're all unchanged now. So that's basically where we're starting at. So now I'm going to go and add that simple many-to-many relationship. And as we saw in the last episode, you really only need to add navigation properties to make that happen. Sorry, let me find my code here. So in my user, I'm going to say it has groups, and in my groups has users. Okay. So this is a many-to-many relationship. Users have groups have users. It's pretty simple. Let's add some data into that just so that we can see that it's working. So here I've created my users and groups. What I'm going to do is associate them with each other. It's super simple. All I need to do to associate users and groups is say, for users, just add all the users onto the, so for each group, add all the users that are associated. And there we have it. And then I'll put a little bit of code in after here just so we can see that things are actually working in the database. So stuff out like we did before. Here we go. So, you know, I'll show you the console screen here, and we've inserted stuff into the database, we've selected thumbs, and we have users and groups all related together in a many-to-many. So that's how easy it is to get many-to-many working. There's really nothing to it. The interesting thing is if we now go look what's happened to the debug views underneath. So if I go into context, model, debug view, and go into short view here, and copy that over, you can see there's a lot more in here than when all we did was add two navigation properties, and now we've got loads of magical stuff. So let's look at this in a bit more detail. We've still got the group entity and we've got the user entity. Then we've got the thing that we explicitly added. So we added, there's a bit little formatting here. We should have a space there, but we can fix that. We added a user's navigation property from group to users, and we added a group's navigation property from user to groups. And these are inverses of each other, so you can see that they're detected as inverses. So this is all we added, and this is what EF has created underneath the covers. So basically, it's created a new entity type. This is what we call a join entity. This allows you to join groups and users together. And this is what gets will result in creating a join table in the database. Now, this entity type is actually of type dictionary string to object. So it's the, even though we had a CLR type group here and we have a CLR type user here, in this case, EF is showing us that this is actually different. It's not a simple CLR type. It's actually a dictionary string to object. I'm not sure why we show this twice here. I'm going to follow up on that. But anyway, just extra information. So when you're storing things as a dictionary or string to object, any entity type can use this. It's what we call a shared type entity type. So dictionary or string to object is just something that ships with the BCL, right? And it doesn't have any specific properties for ID or name or anything. Instead, it just has an indexer. So you can do square brackets in C# and say, here's my property name, ID, what's the value of it? So that's what we call an indexer property. So you can see that EF has created indexer properties for this. So it's got a group's ID, and we'll come back to the naming of that, which acts as the foreign key. We can see down here, foreign key to group, and then we've got a property user's ID, which is acting as the foreign key to user. And these are indexer property, meaning in the dictionary, we expect a property, a value or with name group ID to have the value of the field, the foreign key for group, and the other index property to have the foreign key for the user. And we've created a composite key of these things, which is useful in the database for ensuring that everything is created consistently. So don't worry if some of that didn't make sense. Like, go read up about indexer properties, read up about shared type entity types in the documentation. There's lots of information about those. But let's move on and see also what's happening in the change tracker now. And we're going to come back to the model in a minute. So in the change tracker, I can expand the debug view of that by going change tracker, debug view, and we're going to look at the short view again. It's looking pretty crazy this time, but it's actually not very bad. All it's saying is now I've created groups like before and users before, but I've got all of these entities. So these are entities of my join entity. So this says, it's a dictionary string to object, right? That's the type, remember, of the entity. And it's got values in it for the group ID and the user's ID. And these are the same temporary values that have been assigned by EF here. So these are the things that says, okay, this is related to this, this is related to this, this user is related to this group, this user is related to this group. These entities are what show that under the covers. If we step over this, you can see that what EF does, and I'm gonna just bring up the output here, it's inserted a bunch of values. Let's step back. So what we've first done is we've inserted groups and users, and we've selected back the IDs for all of those things. So this is how EF has got back the generated IDs, because they're identity columns in the SQL Server database. This is how EF has got those IDs back. Now, when it inserts into the join table, it's actually inserting all of these values that are now the correct values. So what EF has done, it's recognized that the temporary value has now been replaced in the database by an actual key value. It's taken those, propagated those to my join entity types, set them to the correct values, and now it's doing another insert into the database to insert all of those values. So a lot of stuff is actually going on under the covers there. the end result is in this debug view again. Sorry, no, that's the wrong one. There. Yes, that's the right one. Okay. So now after we've saved changes, instead of having all of those temporary values, they've all been replaced here with the real values. So that's all happened. You don't have to, with EF Core, you don't have to save values, get the value back, get, you know, save a principal, get the value of the key back from the database, put it into the foreign key of another object, save that, and all of that is happening under the covers. Okay, magic. So yes, magic. But it's not really magic, it's just code. Okay, so now I'm going to show you how, remember I said that all of this magic is, oh, am I still running the debugger? Let me stop debugging here. So yeah, that helps. Okay, so all of this magic is stuff that you can replace with your own configuration. So for example, you remember I said that EF created this shared type entity type, which is using dictionary of string to object to act as the group user table. So I can say, oh, explicitly, this is what I want. And actually, what will happen in this is that EF will see this thing you've explicitly configured and say, hey, that's the same thing I was going to configure, so I'm going to use yours instead. And that's kind of how the conventions and the explicit configuration work together. They integrate with each other. It's like you add a bit of explicit configuration, we take the rest of the conventions and we combine it with that explicit configuration to get what you actually asked for. In this case, I haven't asked for anything different, but if I run this, actually I ran it not in the debugger, which is not what I wanted to do. So we'll let it finish and then I'll run it again in the debugger. I think I still have my breakpoint, yes. So let's go look really quickly at the model again. So we're gonna go model, debug view, and I'm gonna look at the short view. If we bring this over here, you have to take my word for this, but everything is the same as it was before. Like this is still the same entity type that EF created by convention. It's just I've explicitly specified it now.
Got it.
So not super interesting in that respect because it didn't really change anything, but we'll get to that in a minute. So after having done that, let's go a bit further. Let's actually configure that many-to-many relationship explicitly. So again, what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna come here and say, actually, even though EF discovered this by convention, I'm explicitly now going to say this is a user entity, has many groups with many users. So this is how I explicitly configure many to many. So if you have things that don't match conventions or where you have multiple relationships between the same entities and EF can't figure out, oh, these two navigations fit together and make a many to many, this is what you have. This is all you have to do, right? You don't have to specify any of the other stuff. That will still be built by convention. So all of the other things are still built by convention. And I did it again where I ran it instead of debugging it. But I will just show you again really quickly. It gets boring because nothing changed again, but it's useful to see that. So context, model, debug view, short view. And let's go back over here. Everything is still the same. Even though we've explicitly configured this many-to-many, because it matches what we would do by convention, it didn't change anything. Okay, so now I'm gonna go another step further on this and say, actually, let's configure more about it. Let's do the whole thing. Now, this is a big leap, and we actually have an issue on the backlog for 6.0. Well, it's not on the backlog, it's a triage for 6.0, which says, make this step a bit easier, because this is where you have to go now if you want to get to the point of specifying your join entity type directly. So EF was picking this up automatically by convention as my join entity type, but I can also specify this explicitly and I can tell it this is the CLR type it will have. Now I could put in a regular entity type just as it was before EF Core 5. In there, and you can see that in many of the other demos of many-to-many. In this case, I'm using a shared entity type just like we do by default, and I'm giving it the same name. And then I'm just telling it in here that this is set up underneath by a one-to-many and a one-to-many on either side, because that's basically what a many-to-many relationship is. It's a view over a two one-to-many relationships to the join table. Like I said, this is a little bit too complicated of a big step. We want to make this better, but trust me when I say if you run this, it will still create exactly the same model as before. And we're going to do that one more time. The one thing, see, you may not realize, but you still haven't fully specified this relationship yet, because we haven't actually specified what the foreign keys should be called. Mm. So you may have noticed, when, and I said we'd come back to this, that by default, here, oh, and that one should be user's key.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, I think it would have given us an exception. So EF names these things groups, IDs, and users' IDs, which may seem not quite what you want. The reason it does that is because this is the only really semantic information that we have between these two types. And you could say, well, they're always between user and group, so just use that. But if you have multiple relationships between user and group, which is quite common, then that naming convention of just using the types falls down. And that's why we fall back onto the navigations, which generally have things like membership or something that is more semantically relevant. However, in a simple case like this, you probably want this to be called group ID and user ID. So I could run this all this code again and we get exactly the same model. But now I've got to the point where I can say, actually, I don't want the same model. What I want is these columns, these properties, to be called group ID and user ID. And I don't want this to be called group user. I want this to be called memberships, because the table in my database should be memberships between users and groups. So now, when I run this, the model will be different. So I'm going to run in the debugger again, and we're going to look at the debug view. So context, model, debug view, short view. Let's come over to where I had this before and paste that. Oh, I think I did something wrong.
Mm-mm.
Yes. Let me go back here. I think I know what I did wrong. What I did wrong is that I forgot a step in my demo. In my demo, what I should have done is, before we ran this step, I should have said, you don't need this anymore. Like, this is actually being set up. This here has everything you need. But by leaving this in, what I said is, actually, I want a shared entity type group user, and I want a shared entity type called memberships. And so it created both. You know, because now the one I created above is different from the one that I'm configuring. So now it's say, oh, you want two of those. So if I do what I was supposed to do and remove that and then run this again in the debugger, which I have to start it again. Here we go. It's going to pop up. Now hopefully we get the right model. Context, model, debug view, short view. Bring it over here. Yes, now we're back to the same model. So this is exactly the same thing we started it, except my entity type for the join is now called memberships, and the table will likewise be called memberships, which is what I want. It's closer to what I was hoping for. And the keys are now group ID, user ID, instead of groups ID and user ID. But everything else is exactly the same. So basically what you're doing when you're using the magic in Entity Framework to set up a many-to-many relationship is you're effectively not really setting up magic. You're just implicitly configuring what you can always explicitly configure. And that's what gives you the power of being able to gradually add to your configuration as you move away from what we might do by default to what you need to customize. But you only need to do it in the places where you actually want to customize, which keeps your model building code much more simpler and succinct. And I think that's all I have for in-depth into what happens many-to-many under the covers.
That was great. So the takeaway that I got from this is that Entity Framework is pretty smart and is going to figure out a lot about your models, but those conventions aren't something that you're stuck with. You can override them, configure them, tweak them, change them. And I'll tell you what, that debug view is an awesome way to stay on top of what's happening. I knew about it. I've used it for queries, but I haven't dug into the change tracker and the model piece, and that's pretty huge.
Yes, so we had the model debug view in previous versions of EF Core. We've enhanced it with the short view, which makes it easier to read in EF Core 5, and the change tracker debug view is new in EF Core 5. And when I'm debugging issues that people file and trying to reproduce things, I use it all the time, and I think other people will similarly find it super useful. So hope you love it as much as we do.
Great. EF Core 5 is out today. You can download it now. If you work with data in your .NET projects, you want to check it out. Thank you.